At the end of the letter to the church in Ephesus, as we noted in our lesson last week, we find the Apostle Paul giving a call to arms. He reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle, not a physical war, but a spiritual war, and one that is against not the powers of this world and the forces that we might see on a regular basis, but we are fighting against the spiritual forces of evil, the spiritual forces of darkness in this world. And as we look at these things, we need to remind ourselves and be mindful, as we noted last week in our lesson, that we're not alone in this battle, that we have Jesus there with us. God has promised to fight with us, and then also He has provided us with the armor that we need to fight the battles that are before us. And with all of this knowledge, Paul is encouraging us to stand firm in the faith, to prepare ourselves in such a way that we can withstand all of the evil that might come towards us. As we begin looking at the parts of armor that is listed by the Apostle Paul, so that we can withstand the onslaught of the spiritual forces of evil that we face, the first item that Paul describes is that of the belt of truth. He says there in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." In the King James Version, New King James, New American Standard, you might find the phrase something along the lines of girding your loins with truth, or having your loins girded with truth. And the idea there of this girding of your loins is taking your belt and tying things together. The belt was a foundational part of the soldier's armor. It held everything in place. It provided the support that was needed for the armor of the Roman soldiers, so that when they rushed into battle, everything stayed exactly where it was supposed to be. Everything was there to protect them in the way that it was supposed to. And then also, it was a handy-dandy little sword holder there on your belt, so that you'd have your offensive weapon as well readily available. It was a stabilizing force for all of the armor that was provided to the Roman soldier. And we'll find, I think, with this lesson, the same is true with this belt of truth. When we look at these things and see what God has provided to us, and having the wrong belt or having an improper belt could cause some serious problems later on. And so as we begin our study, I think it's important for us to learn that we need to be wary of counterfeits. Anyone who's talked to me about Bibles knows how I feel about when you're going out to purchase a Bible. If you're going to purchase a Bible for long-term use, the thing that I will say after we discuss, you know, what kind of translation might be best suited for you and things of that nature is, if you're going to buy a Bible, buy one that's got a good, genuine leather cover, because it's going to last longer. You're going to have a longer use out of it. And it's the same thing with the belt. I've the belt I'm wearing now, the belt that's in that picture there, is older than my son. It's almost as old as my daughter. And it looks almost identical, other than a few curls from, you know, my rolls coming over it and things of that nature. It's still just as solid and as strong as it was the day that I bought it, because it's a genuine leather belt. But there have been times that we've traveled and I've forgotten my belt. And so what do? You run to Walmart and you buy whatever the cheapest belt there is. It looks halfway decent. And then I use it two or three times, and because it's bonded leather or it's an imitation leather, it quickly begins to fall apart. With an imitation product, it looks nice at first and perhaps might even seem to be working well for a while. But due to its lesser quality, it becomes to fall apart with use. And then there's also the veneers. The veneers is nothing more than it's got a cover on it that looks like leather, but nothing about it is leather. And even with bonded leather, you think, okay, this is pretty good. It's bonded leather. It's got leather in it, but because it's a thin strip of leather, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, come look at my bag after church. It's got a thin strip of leather on the outside, makes it look really pretty, and then it's got a heavy canvas that it's glued to give it some stability. which made it affordable. And it will last, but not near as long as the $500 to $1,000 bags that you can spend where they have saddle-grade leather that you can throw off of a cliff, and it will survive. And yes, those kinds of bags are out there. And that's the thing, when you're looking at the genuine product versus the imitation. And the same is true with counterfeit truth or imitation truth. These truths may seem logical. They may seem sound on the surface. They sound good. But when you begin to put them into practice in your life, you find that it doesn't really help. And it becomes evident over time that they are not genuine. Some truth may be joined together with I think so's and human traditions. And while there is in fact some truth taught, these truths are usually watered down with the thoughts of man and made useless in the long run. Jesus warned of this. If you look in Mark chapter 13, there in verse 22, Jesus said that false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Going towards the end of the Bible, over in 2 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 1, we read that false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Going over one book in 1 John chapter 4. There in verse 1, John tells him, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." They had false teachers in the first century. Do you think things have really changed that much? That we could be so special that we don't have to worry about having false teachers in our day and time? The Apostle Paul warned the Christians in Galatia. He had gone through and taught the gospel there in Galatia, established churches there in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. These are the congregations of Galatia. And then he comes back through on the next trip, and things have changed. And so as he goes through, he writes a letter to them. He says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Note verse 8. He says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven were to preach to you any gospel contrary to the one that we've preached, let him be accursed." It's so important. He says, I'm going to say it again. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." There was one gospel, one genuine truth. But even so early in the first century, so early in the beginning of the church, there were already those who were going amongst Christians and teaching these false doctrines. In fact, when you get over in the book of Revelation, you see there in the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and verse 2, one of the things that Christ commends the church in Ephesus for is that they were testing the spirits to make sure that they were true. They were testing those who called themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. And really, this should not surprise us at all, these counterfeit gospels, these false teachers. Because as we noted in our lesson last week, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, we read of these men who are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. You see, false apostles, these servants of Satan, disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And so we must be cautious and compare all of the teachings that are preached to us with the Word of God. It's interesting to me that for the longest time, rat poison, well, 99% of rat poison was good, wholesome food. Healthy. Nothing wrong with it. Tasty. It was that 1% that gets you. And it's the same with truth. We may have 99% good, wholesome truth, but we slide in that 1% false doctrine and we're lost. It may sound great. It may look great. it may be desirable. Well, that sounds a lot like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? She looked at the fruit of the tree, and it looked like it tastes good. And the idea of having this knowledge, well, that would be great. To be on par with God, well, that just ticked all three of the boxes. And that's the same thing with these false teachings today. But all of that, where we turn away from the will of God, is leading to spiritual death. And Paul even warned that we've got to be watchful of each other. In Acts chapter 20, as we noted in our lesson last week, that there was going to rise from the very elders of the church ravenous wolves seeking to devour and destroy. Peter again said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 that false teachers will be among you. And so we can see the importance of being watchful for these fake truths, of not falling prey to these counterfeits. And so one might ask next, well then, what is truth? How do I know what truth is? And there's a lot of truth floating around out there, isn't there? There's my truth, and there's your truth, and there's their truth. This seems to be the mindset in the world today. You might hear, well, that's your truth, but here's my truth on this subject. On the news, you hear about the left's truth, the right's truth, the government's truth, Hollywood's truth, and science's truth. And you know the interesting thing about all of those truths? They're always changing. Every single one of them. You'll hear something along the lines, well, we know this to be true. And then sometimes not even a couple of days later, well, we weren't right on this. Wait just a moment. We know what we're talking about now. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And, I mean, think about that. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad and dangerous, because people believe these false truths when it comes to their claiming to have the truth of the Word of God. The wise men wrote in Proverbs chapter 12, there in verse 15, he says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Later in Proverbs 16 and verse 25, we read that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that is death. Now think about that for just a moment. The way of the fool seems perfectly normal and right and good. The way of man seems right. We need to understand that there is only one truth. And that truth is, in fact, the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, there verse 17 of our scripture reading, he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 31 and verse 5, in the New American Standard Bible, it reads, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." You see, the truth, the one and only truth, is found in the Word of God. The imperishable, never-changing Word of God. Peter writes of this in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 22, as we look there in verse 22, he says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." The truth of mankind is constantly changing, but the Word of God remains the same. But you've got Baptist truth, Methodist truth, Catholic church, Catholic truth. You've got Presbyterian truth. You've got Mormon truth. You've got Church of Christ truth. And all of those are constantly changing. But the Word of God, it remains the same. It's not a perishable seed, but imperishable. The living and abiding Word of God, the Word of the Lord, remains forever. As Paul is writing to the Christians there in Ephesians chapter 1, there in verse 11, it says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Again, man's truth is constantly changing, but God's word remains steadfast and true. I mean, just stop for just a moment and go back through the Bible, back to the very beginning. From the very beginning, God has promised salvation to mankind. The entire theme of the scriptures is looking forward to that promise. And you look at, you know, from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. It's a book that was written over 1,600 years by over 40 authors. And this common theme runs throughout, and people have tried to point out, well, this disagrees with that. Well, when you study it, it doesn't. Over and over, they've tried to find fault with the Bible, and over, the Bible has proven itself to be true again and again. Over 1,600 years it took in the making. In almost 2,000 years, it's been there and been proving itself true over. In fact, they just found some new archaeological evidence that proves exactly what the Bible had said. And they do it over and over and over again. And so when we look at these things, the Word of God is there. It's true. You know, we can't even get our science books to agree with each other 5-10 years apart. What I learned in science is wrong. And I'm not that old. I'm not, Victor, I'm not. We need to understand the Word of God, however. What I learned as a child is the same thing I'm teaching to that young man back there. And the same thing he can teach to his children when he's old. Because it doesn't change. The Word of God, the truth, was revealed by the Spirit of truth. If you look in John chapter 15, there in verse 26, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." In John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says again, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." We have the word of truth given to us by the Spirit of truth, and therefore we must all come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul writes of this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, he writes that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And so once we learn the truth is the word of God, what do we do? If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to be looking at verse 23. But since Grace's favorite verse is verse 22, I thought we would throw verse 22 in there as well. And I'm pretty sure all you parents and grandparents will appreciate this. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. "Listen to your father who gives you life. And do not despise your mother when she is old." Now, verse 23. "Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding." Buy the genuine article. That's what we need to be looking for. We need to buy truth and do not sell it. And since truth is found only in the Word of God, it's imperative that we read the Word of God. Not Church of Christ doctrine, not Baptist doctrine, not Methodist doctrine, not Tim's doctrine, but the Word of God. We've got to take the time to study it, to strive to understand and to apply what it says, for it to be truly effective in our lives. And in our fight against Satan and the spiritual forces of darkness, we've got to truly believe that God has revealed to us His will, His truth in the New Testament. If you go back and look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, again we can see that our souls are purified by obedience to the truth. No, verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Jesus tells us that we can know the truth. If you look over in John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is important that we learn to seek to buy the genuine article, not the half-breed, not the bonded gospel, where it's bonded of certain aspects of the Word of God or bonded together with the traditions and teachings of men, but just the Word of God. Buy the genuine article, the truth of the Word of God. And then it's important that we learn to properly handle the Word of truth. I remember when Austin was getting older and I was, you know, not older, he was little, and I was teaching him, all right, you got to put on your belt. And he finally got to the point where he could put on his belt himself, but he wouldn't make it very tight. And so pants just fall right down. And when you're 4 or 5 years old, it's not quite as big of a deal as when you're 13, 14. So he had to be taught, you know, use the belt properly, especially if you're going to be hanging something from it. When you're going out, we go out hiking and things of that nature, belts are wonderful things to have. It amazes me, though, the amount of people who go around today without a belt. Even when it comes to dresses on women, a nice belt can kind of give it the structure that it needs. We need to learn how to properly use the belt of truth. You see, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 14. He says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. We need to be sure that we're striving to rightly handle the word of truth. And Paul says, don't get caught up in these extra-biblical discussions that are going on, and I see this amongst my brethren, and I worried. I want to post the verse 14 and verse 16 over and over and over. Guys, read this. You're arguing over things that you shouldn't be arguing over. And you're disputing over things that you should not be disputing over. Stick with the Word of God. Make sure that you're accurately handling, rightly handling, the word of truth. Paul encourages us to do this. If you look in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and you can even look at the top of your bulletin. I have had this verse in every bulletin I've ever done. Philippians 4 and verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, the wording might be a little different in the bulletin because that's from the New American Standard Bible, and I just read from the English Standard. But note the first thing he says, this is what you need to be thinking about. Things that are true. But what do we spend our time thinking about? The truths of this world. The truth of the left, the truth of the right, the truth of the government, the truth of science, the truth of this, the truth of that. He says you need to be dwelling upon that which you know is true. Remember, the belt of truth is the support of our armor. It holds everything in place. It enables us to make proper use of each of the other pieces of armor. And we've got to make sure that we're purchasing and using the genuine article. There are very realistic looking counterfeits of God's truth in the world still. The devil has shown great talent in his slight alterations to God's word. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, what's going to happen? Well, God said, we're going to die. You're not going to die. You're just going to become like God. Change one little word. And was he wrong? Did they die instantly? No.
See, he likes to play with these half-truths. Now, they died spiritually instantly. They separated themselves from God. And mankind spent the rest of his time looking towards a Savior where we could be brought back truly into a right relationship with God. They also began to suffer physical death. You see, the things that the devil does, it may seem more palatable because, you know, he's packaged it in such a wonderful way, but it is truly spiritual poison, and it results in everlasting death. The devil uses flashy shows and smiling pastors, spiritual sleight of hand, and a watered-down gospel to lure you in. But once the concert is over, the lights have stopped flashing, then you're no better off than you were before you walked through the door. Why not buy the unadulterated, 100% pure truth found in the Word of God? Not Tim's truth. Not man's truth. Not mom and dad's truth. Not the church's truth. But simply God's truth. We need to remember that my truth and your truth and their truth does not equal God's truth. Why not purchase the truth by obeying the gospel? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to be that perfect sacrifice for mankind so that we can be brought into a proper relationship with God, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Follow in what the truth teaches in repenting of your sins and being buried in baptism, that you can be in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The old man of sin can be put to death in the watery grave of baptism, and then as we arise from it, we can arise to walk in newness of life, just as Jesus rose from the grave. To walk in a life that would never see death again. Perhaps you, at some point in time, bought the truth, but you lost it. There have been times in a move where I lost my belt. This one, I was not happy. That was my good belt. That was my everything belt. That was my dependable belt. And I'd have to go and endure some lesser belt. Perhaps you bought the truth at one time and you've allowed it to get lost in your life. Maybe you traded it for a counterfeit because it was a little flashier. And you thought, well, this is better. It makes me think of in the movies when you see where they buy the fake Rolex. And it looks really great. It's shiny and perfect until the spring starts shooting everywhere. And that's the way it is with the devil's truth. It looks good. It sounds great. And it will lead you astray if you will allow it to. But eventually the springs are going to go everywhere. And it's going to destroy your life spiritually. Why not come back to the one and only truth? Give the time and the study that is needed so that you can present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. As you look later in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul writes that perhaps God might grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. When people fall away, we need to be praying that God might grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. When people refuse the truth, that's the prayer we should be offering for them. Let's close by looking at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, there in verse 35, among many other teachings that Jesus gave of waiting for the Son of Man and looking for things to come, he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, he says, "Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." Now just stop and think about what Jesus is saying there. He said, you stay ready. You don't know when the master's coming. But for those who are ready when the master comes, that opens the door for him, instead of like, oh no, Jesus has come, I need to repent. They're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. He says, those are the ones where the master, the Lord, will dress himself for service. And those who are ready and waiting will recline at the table and be served by the master. We all need to be dressed for action. We need to be prepared. And so we need to stand and put on the belt of truth, making sure that we have the genuine article given to us by God. If you need to obey the gospel or if you need to be restored, we encourage you to make your life right in whatever way is necessary as we stand and as we sing.
Here in the